And that's true. And we've heard pretty much the story and read the account in the Word of God of what Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead. There's probably some, there's not any question of what day he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead on Sunday and the third day. And there's a little controversy about what day he was crucified on, but regardless, we know he was in the tomb three nights and 3 days. And I said 3 nights and 3 days because it's always dark before the dawn. In everybody's life, it's always dark before the dawn. It seems like we go through a time of darkness in our life before we come to the light. And hopefully we come to the light in a way that is scriptural, according to the Word of God. We know the account that Jesus Christ was crucified. He had done no wrong whatsoever. He was innocent of any wrongdoing. In fact, he was absolutely perfect, sinless. In the Old Testament, they'd have to have an animal, and they'd take an animal, and they would pin that animal up. Sometimes they'd bring that animal into the house, and they would keep that lamb for about 4 days. And they would watch that lamb and make sure that lamb was not sick. The lamb had no blemish. The lamb was perfect. And at the end of those 4 days, they would bring the lamb to the priest, and the priest would cut the throat of that lamb, and the blood was shed. And person that brought the lamb would lay their hands on the head of the animal and confess their sins. And that was a picture of what was to come. And when the sins were then imposed upon the animal died, the blood was shed. Once a year, the high priest would take the blood of the animal, a special animal, take it into the holy place. And in the holy place was the Ark of the Covenant. The ark had a lid on that on the covenant, and that lid was called the judgment seat. And that was the judgment seat of God. Well, when they placed the blood on the judgment seat, it became a mercy seat. And they did this time after time after time after time. Thousands and thousands of times in the Old Testament, they performed that ritual, looking forward to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish, the one that was perfect, the one that was holy, the one that had committed no sin, the Son of the living God, came that he would be the perfect Lamb that would not be sacrificed over and over and over again, but would be sacrificed once for all. And the Lord Jesus was sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary. His life was not taken from him, his life was given by him. They did not kill him on the cross. It would have been impossible to do so. He gave up his own life on the cross. Yes, they beat him with many stripes. They put the crown of thorns upon his head. The blood was a very bloody scene. If you saw that movie, The Passion, it was similar to that, only probably worse. And Jesus Christ at the last minute said, "It is finished." The plan of salvation was done. He gave up his spirit. And he died. Did he die? No, he did not. His body died, just like the same thing that happens to you and I. When we pass from this earth, our body dies. It's put into the ground. And that's exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting enough, they took his body, and I've said this before, but I think it's important. They took his body and wrapped it in linen cloth and spice. And they wrapped every finger, every toe, every hand, every foot, every leg, every part of his body but his face. They did not wrap his face. They wrapped his face with something special. It's called in the Bible a napkin, but what it was a prayer cloth. It's a prayer cloth that probably he had worn throughout his ministry. And they took that prayer cloth and they carefully wrapped his face with that prayer cloth. So when Sunday morning came, and probably he could have risen any time from Saturday night to Sunday morning, but when Sunday morning came, his body rose out of this encrusted, hard shell that had been put around his body. If there was any question about his death, he would have died just from the matter of being wrapped in this material because it became a hard like a cocoon. And so the only place was left for it was an opening for his face. So when he rose from the dead, he rose his body. He did not rise. His body rose out of that cocoon-like structure. He took the prayer cloth around his face. Now this was the signal to John and Peter that he had risen from the dead. This right here. There was two things when they came into that tomb that showed them that Jesus rose from the dead. Because the soldiers were paid, if you remember, to tell this story that somebody came and took the body away. But the fact is, when Peter and John went into that tomb, they saw this cocoon-like structure, and it was clearly not broken in any way. It was a solid piece. No way anybody could have taken the body out. And then they found something else, and that was the prayer cloth, and it was wrapped very carefully, like the Jews wrapped the prayer cloth. And as John Hagee said, it was very similar to the way we wrap the American flag. They had a certain way of wrapping this. Only a Jew would have wrapped it in this way. And it was very carefully wrapped and placed by the side there on the slab. And so when they came in, they suddenly believed and suddenly realized all the times that Jesus Christ had told them that he was going to die, he was going to be buried, and he was going to rise again. And so he did exactly what he said he was going to do. But they did not understand it until actually they came to the place of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It opened their eyes. You and I do not understand the things of God. We can't figure it out. We can't read the Bible 100 times and get this information. The only way you can understand the Bible and the things about what Jesus Christ did was very simply to receive that information from God. It's called revelation. This Bible is a revelation from God to man. You only understand it when you come to Christ. You don't understand it before that. And I'll explain that in just a minute. But I want you to look very quickly in Psalm 16 and verse 10. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures here real quick. But I want to show you in the Old Testament where it predicted that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. There are several places, but one of them is Psalm 16 and verse 10. You might write these down if anybody wants to know. So it says, now many times in the Old Testament it'll be talking about something and all of a sudden it'll jump to a different subject, and that's exactly what it did here. In verse 10 it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this was written hundreds of years before the crucifixion. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither will thou permit thine Holy One to see corruption. And what that meant was two things. God was not going to leave the soul of Jesus Christ, went into a place called Sheol. And his body would have stayed there had not God brought him out of that place. Where is it? Probably the center of the earth. And it's where all the lost of all the people from Adam up to now are. That's where their spirit and soul resides, in this place called Sheol. So this says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither will thou permit thy Holy One to see corruption." Now they tell me that after 3 days, your body starts to really deteriorate. And this says that Jesus Christ's body would not see corruption. That means it would not begin to deteriorate like a body would. So he says, and so after 3 days, that's why it says in the Bible, after 3 days. Three is the number of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's also the 3 days that Jesus lied in that tomb. He laid in that tomb. But it says that the Father here would not leave the soul of Jesus Christ and his spirit into Sheol. So on the third day, that body rose up out of that cocoon-like structure. His spirit and soul was united with his body, and he, by his own power, by the angels, rolled the stone away and left that tomb. He could have gone out through the walls. He could have gone through the stone regardless, but the stone was rolled away. Not to let him out, but to let the disciples in. The stone was rolled away to let them in. Jesus went out. He could go through walls, anything he wanted to go through. And so the third day, he rose from the dead. And if you read further, and I'm not going to take the time to do it, in Hebrews it said that he took his own blood. Remember in the Old Testament, they took the animal's blood. In the New Testament, Jesus' blood. He took his own blood. He went into heaven. He went into the temple in heaven. He went to the Ark of the Covenant. And he poured his own blood on the judgment seat of God. And the judgment seat became the mercy seat for you and I. Now, he came from heaven. He went back to heaven. He came back again. And then he went back to heaven. Very interesting. Whatever Jesus Christ did, we can do. The Bible really says that you really came from God. You were conceived in your mother's womb, but you came from God. God said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." And so we came from God. We came to the mother's womb. We were created in our mother's womb. We lived a time on this earth. Our body dies. Our soul and spirit go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus came, Jesus returned to heaven. Just like he came back again, there's going to be a time at the second coming of Jesus Christ when we will come back with him again. Whatever Jesus does, we do. Now, keep that in mind. So you don't have to worry about death, because Jesus said, "If you know me, you will do exactly what I have done." So therefore, we can be assured, if we know Christ, that we are going to be with him wherever he is forever. He's in heaven, we're there. He comes back to earth, we're there. Now, not only did the prophets in the Old Testament foretell of Jesus Christ's death and his burial and resurrection, Jesus Christ himself. And let's go to John chapter 2 and verse 19. Jesus Christ himself announced that he would rise from the dead. He would be killed. He would then rise from the dead. And that is in John chapter 2 and verse 19. I want you to know that Jesus knew he was going to die. This was not a surprise to him. He knew exactly what was going to happen. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was talking about the temple or the tabernacle of his body, not the temple in Jerusalem. He said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in the building, and will you raise it up in 3 days? And he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture, the word which Jesus said. Now, the point is, there's probably 100+ scriptures in the Old Testament that said Jesus Christ is going to rise from the dead. He fulfilled every single one of them. There are over 300 scriptures in the Old Testament that said Jesus Christ is going to come again. And I'm here to tell you, if he came the first time in answer to scripture, he'll come the second time in the answer to scripture. And if he fulfilled all of those scriptures when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but ever have everlasting life, he's going to fulfill that one for you, and he's going to fulfill it for me. So we can believe what the Word of God said. Now, look in Luke 24 and verse 45. I'm just going to go through the scriptures, show you the scriptures, so that you will know where they're at. You can find them on your own, and it'll be helpful. Luke 24 and verse 45. And then he said, Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So, let's look at some other scriptures and see what that says. Look in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. Now, this is the Apostle Paul preaching after he rose from the dead, after he went into heaven, years later. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there's no resurrection of the dead? There are people today that are saying that once you die, you just go into nothingness, there's nothing. That's the end of everything, you just disintegrate, go into the ground, it's all over. But the Apostle Paul said, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up, not up, excuse me, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then not is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. Now I want you to look at this, because it's important. Your faith is in vain, yet you are in your sins. And this says very simply this. If Jesus Christ did not do what he said he did, if he did not rise from the dead, we will die in our sins. That's what it says. So that's why we preach the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we're excited about the resurrection of Christ. That's why it's performed like such as you saw today, time after time after time, because it is the issue of life. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, we have no life. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, we will die in our sins. No chance whatsoever in eternity. No chance to be with the Lord forever. So, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I'm just going to give you some of this information. The Bible tells us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all involved in the resurrection. God himself is involved in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, and I think it'd be good if we would go there, Isaiah chapter 53, man did not put Jesus Christ on the cross. Man did not put Jesus Christ on the cross. He did physically, but he did not put him on, would not have been able to put him on, had it not been for the Lord. Now, I want to show you where it says that. In verse 10 of Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt see his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And what that says is, it pleased the Lord God the Father to bruise him, is what that says. He put him to grief. So the Father put his own Son on the cross so that you and I would have life and have it not only more abundantly, but have eternal life. Now I want us to go back one more time to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. I'm not going to be long here this morning, but I want to I want you to get this information. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. Now this says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. What that says is that Adam brought sin into this world. Jesus Christ paid for sin and through his resurrection. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming, and then comes the end and so on. All right. So that says that Adam brought sin into the world. He was the first Adam. Christ was the second Adam. He took sin from the world, it says, there through the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I want to go on. But it says, verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when shall he put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he's put all things under his feet, but when he has put all things under him, it is manifest that he is accepted who did put all things under him. And when all things are subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, what the scripture says, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he went back up into heaven, he was accepted by the Father because no sin can enter heaven. He was our sin was washed even from him by his resurrection, was left in the grave. He ascended into heaven, sat on the right hand of the Father, and because of that, he's accepted in heaven. And now the scripture says, those that accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will also be accepted into heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, one other scripture I want us to look at, and then we'll close. And that is Isaiah 26 and verse 19. Isaiah 26 and verse 19. It's very interesting how these scriptures are hidden in the Old Testament, because that's exactly what they are. They are hidden in the Old Testament, but they are very extremely important for us. This is another scripture. It has to do with resurrection. So, Isaiah 26, verse 19. He says, "Then dead men shall live, together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." I want you to see this. The earth will cast out the dead. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut the doors about thee, and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past." The indignation is the 7-year tribulation, which is future, yet to come. "Now, until the indignation is past, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth shall also disclose her blood," and so on, "and shall no more cover her slain." So what that says is that God's people, if the rapture, until the rapture comes, Jesus Christ is going to come again. He's going to take all of his believers out of this earth. We're going to be with him in heaven, and then the 7-year tribulation is going to take place. So in a sense, that's a resurrection for you and I. Jesus was resurrected, you and I will be resurrected. Some of us will die, our bodies will be put in the ground, and our soul and spirit go to be with Jesus. Some of us will be taken up in our bodies. Our bodies will be changed into a glorified body, and we will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the whole issue is, what are you going to do with Christ? That's the issue. The issue is, when we stand before the Lord, and that's who we're going to stand before. When we stand before the Lord, we are going to stand before the very one that died, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. That's what our life, that's where our hope is. Because Jesus rose, we will rise. That is our hope. It is only for those that receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so it's necessary. It doesn't make any difference who you are, where you came from, where you live, what your status is. It makes no difference whatsoever. The issue will be very simply, did you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Did you receive his death, burial, and resurrection to pay for your sins? That's going to be the issue. There is no other issue. And so the ones that stand before Christ that belong to him will be judged for our works. The ones that are lost stand before Christ. We will be judged as whether we know him or not, whether our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And so that's the issue. That's the whole thing of the resurrection. You say, what do we make such a big deal of it for? Because if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, we are dead in our sins and will be in eternal hell forever. That's the issue. So, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask the elders to come. Let's stand before the Lord. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came out of that tomb just like you saw him come out today. The grave could not hold him. If you're here today and